image that you would have us to be, which is your Son Christ, Lord God. Now move and minister in this service today. Let it be a product of your Spirit. And Father, move upon in the altar service, touching each and every heart, supplying each and every need, according to your riches, your glory. And in Christ Jesus' name, and the church said, Amen. Amen.
Thank you, God. Guys, play some march around, shake everybody's hand music. I want y'all to get around and shake everybody. I want y'all to get around and shake somebody's hand. Water car. How you doing, sister?
As much as I love the news,
God is good. God is good. God is good. God is awesome. Get your Bibles out. Turn to Matthew chapter 5. Kids, you're dismissed to Children's Church. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. You love the Lord this morning. What's next Sunday? Father's Day. How many want to be here for Father's Day? We're going to have a good time Father's Day. Amen. Is it just me or is it a little warm in here? Hot. Yeah, that's kind of more like I'm thinking. H-O-T-M-I-C-K-E-Y. Yes, we are. We're hot. Yes, if you got sand lugs, you can cure them in here today. Do what? I bet you might. Well, you're right. It's not hot enough to cure sand lugs. Okay. Well, I was not speaking figuratively. I was just speaking. I have to. Yeah. Okay. God's good. All right, get your Bibles out. Matthew chapter 5. Stand for the reading of the word. Matthew chapter 5. We're talking about the Beatitudes. We got a few more to go. We're on B3. We got about five more to go, but we're going to talk about the Beatitudes, and I hope that you're getting something out of this Beatitudes that maybe you hadn't thought of before. Sometimes we just read it and we just see it and say, you know, that, but we just read through it and say, okay, we've read through that, now let's go. And we don't understand it all. And if you got any unanswered questions about some of them, at the end, I hope we wrap it all up. Everything's been wrapped up at the end. So if you see something maybe you're not quite sure of, you're still welcome to ask me later on, but hopefully at the end we'll have this all wrapped up. Matthew chapter 5, verse 1. And seeing the multitudes, he went up to a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth, and he taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted the prophets which were before them. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and be trodden under foot of men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and giveth light unto all that are in the house. So let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You got to connect all these together, connect all these dots if you want to get a good, clear word on these Beatitudes. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace, your mercy. I thank you for this day. I thank you, God, that you're an awesome God. You're a powerful God, that there's absolutely nothing, nothing beyond your reach. Father, we thank you for your word, because it is not just a truth, it is the truth. We thank you, God, that there's power unlimited in your word, and there's power unlimited in your spirit. I ask you right now, Father, to touch and anoint each and every one of us. Help us to get a better understanding of your word and these Beatitudes, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we love you, and we praise your name. And the church said, Amen. Let's try and give them a high five, low five, no five, some five. High five, low five, no five, some kind of five. Blessed are the meek. B3. Blessed are the meek. We're talking about B3. Teachability, the third step of happiness. Vitamins are beneficial. Of course, we know that. B vitamins have been used for years for energy, outlook, and strength. Jesus gives us some B vitamins here for our energy, our outlook, and our strength. And they're called the Beatitudes. All right? Blessed equals happy. Matthew 5 and 5 says, Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. So we found out one word for blessed is happy. There's another word for blessed here. It means approval. Wow. Blessed means happy. It also means approved. I want you to think about this for a minute. True happiness comes from knowing that God approves of our actions. Wow. Think about this now. You want to be happy, and you want God happy with you. I'll be happy knowing that I made him happy, because I'm doing it his way, not my way. Amen? I used to love that song by Frank Sinatra. Any of us did it. I did it my way. And you know what? It was really an awesome song at the time. And I used to love it. It was my motto. And after I got saved, and after God finally got through this thick skull, I found out that my way was not the right way. That God's way was the highway. Amen. Amen. Okay, so now, that 2 weeks ago, we started with humility, and the first step of happiness is humility. Humility is realizing that you can't fix everything, you don't have all the answers, you need God in your life. Humility is putting God in charge, becoming totally dependent on God, realizing he has all the answers. Blessed are the poor in spirit, the humble, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Repentance. The second step to happiness is repentance. Repentance is realizing that I have a problem in my life that I can't fix. God's not pleased with. It is hurting my relationship with Him. Repentance is weeping and mourning over the sin of my life. Happy are those who mourn, for God will comfort them. Now, I told you, this is a whole, you got to look at these Beatitudes. Don't just take them, pick and choose. Well, I like this one the best. Well, I like this one the best. I like this one the best. No. Look, the Beatitudes are not eight separate, distinct classifications of Christian. It's not. The Beatitudes, actually, there are eight qualities every Christian should display in their life. It's like not the fruits of the Spirit, it's the fruit of the Spirit. And God wants all of the manifestations of the fruit of the Spirit in our life. The same way He wants these eight qualities in our lives. And as we're going through this thing, we're discovering how all of these systematically tie together. All of these work together, and God paints us a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful picture. So let me talk about meekness. All right, let's talk about what meekness is not. People have got the wrong idea about meekness. They've had the wrong idea for years. Meekness, watch this. Meekness is not weakness. If you're a meek man, does not mean you will never get angry. If you're a meek man or woman, does not mean that you are helpless. You just sit back and take what's dished out. How do we know that? Because the Lord Himself said, I'm meek and lowly. Yeah, watch this. He was not weak. Was Jesus weak? Look, did He get angry? Ask the guys in the temple. Yeah, He drove them all out of there. He didn't mix no words. He drove them all out of there. That's right. He was not helpless. But watch this. He was always, always under control. When you think about this now, I'm building a case here. If we're in the court of law right now, I'm building a case. What meekness is, or what does it mean? First, it means gentle. It means humble. But there's a word for that in meekness that's really powerful. Not only does it mean to be meek and humble and gentle, but it also means the bridling of a horse or the taming of a wild animal. Don't shout me down, but get ready. How many of you have ever been wild? We all smiling too big. I know y'all. You can try to put your hand. Let me put your hand up. I can look at you and tell you. Yeah. Okay. My wife told me every time my friends get around and they talk to my wife says, if I'd have known him back then, he would never have been my husband today. Amen. So watch this. Meekness is the process of teaching or training. It's an adjective, but it's also a verb. It's the process of teaching or training. It is not the animal has become powerless, but that the power of the animal has become harnessed. And the power of the animal now is in the control of the trainer. So meekness means power under control. You have the ability to defend yourself, and there's times where you have the ability to slap back, but you don't. That's meekness. That's power under control. You have the power to do something about certain situations, but you back up and say, I'm going to let God handle it. That's power under control. When you have it in your power to do something, you back off because you know God can get it a whole lot better than you can. Amen? Amen. So it's very powerful to stop. You know, sometimes we don't quite understand. It's also teachability. So it's power under control, but it's teachability. How many here has ever had a problem with teachability? Amen. You know, you heard about the abort. People listen, but they don't. Have you ever heard somebody try to tell you something, but you really weren't listening? You just wanted them to hush up so you could talk. That's my wife said, what did you say? Sometimes in a conversation, we actually just want people to hush up so we can talk. Don't all y'all get righteous on me now. We're supposed to listen to understand, but many times we listen to respond. And if you listen to respond, you want them just to be quiet so you can go ahead and say what you got to say. Matter of fact, some people are already moving their mouth and getting in gear before you finish talking, so they're already talking before you even stop. They don't even know what you're going to say. My wife tells me sometimes, she says, honey, if you just wait a second, if you quit telling me the answer, I'll give it to you. I know I'm not the only man in here. that does that. Honey, if you'll quit giving me the answer, I'll give it to you. I'm trying to tell you if you'll just let me. And I go, oh no, I'm listening to respond. I'm not listening to understand. All right. So this woman here, there was an airline flight from Europe to America, and Grandma Byrne was taking her very first flight. They had only been aloft for a few minutes. The old lady complained to the stewardess that her ears were popping. The girl smiled and gave the old woman some chewing gum, assured that many people experienced the same discomfort. When they landed in New York, Grandma thanked the stewardess for the chewing gum. She said, the chewing gum worked fine, she said, but now that we've arrived, would you tell me how to get it out of my ears? She didn't get the whole, she was not listening to understand, she was listening to respond. Okay, give it here then, I'm going to try it. Okay, the third step of happiness is teachability. How many want to be happy in God and happy in this life? All right, teachability. Teachability is realizing, watch this, this is so hard for so many people. It's hard for me many times, and I have to remember this. It's hard for me when I'm working on something or doing something that I've done so many times, and I have to stop, and I have to remind myself, and I have to listen, because sometimes the greatest teacher you've got is your student. Don't shout me down. Your greatest teacher is your student. The person you're trying to help will teach you more than you learn, and you're teaching them. So I see this now. Happiness or teachability is realizing I don't know everything. How many love a go-to guy? I love a go-to guy. You can go to them, and they can help you figure out just about anything, but I hate a know-it-all. And there's a thin line between a go-to guy and a know-it-all. A go-to guy will sit back with humility and meekness, and he'll help you. A go-to guy, you can't tell him anything. He's not listening to understand. He's listening to respond. He's the guy that figured out, telling you how to do it. So it's important. I don't know everything. Teachability says I don't know everything. Teachability says I am always in a learning mode. Amen? How many's learned something today? I learn something every day of my life. Also, teachability means God decides the how and the when of my lessons. God decides, not me. Sometimes I'm thinking, I'm not having a class today, Lord. I'm chilling. And God says, no, you're going to class. But Lord, I really don't have time. Yes, you do. But Lord, I don't need to learn this lesson. Yes, you do. But God, I would rather do it some other time. I bet you would. But today's perfect. I want you to learn this lesson. So God decides, if you're going to be a teachable person, you know that God decides when and how you learn your lessons. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Did he just say take the yoke upon you? So if it's his yoke, that means I'm called up to snuggle up under him. He's the one that's doing the leading. You know, a yoke actually makes you, when you yoke up, a yoke goes between two animals and it winds up doubling what they can do, their ability, what they've got to do, but it also helps them in their everyday life. Let's see. Let me grab somebody. Brother Patrick, come here. Because you just look like you're really, you're chomping at the bit. Chomping at the bit. Okay, come here. Come here. Okay. All right, ready? Yeah, that's a big ox, yeah.
Don't tell me what
I'm the big ox, okay. Look. Now, come here. Put your. There you go. Okay, here we go. This is the yoke. Without it, he's helpless. Without it, he's doing his own thing. God didn't say take the yoke upon you. Jesus said take my yoke, which means that not only is he yoking up to me, I'm doing the leading. Okay? And I'm meek and lowly in heart. So now wherever we go... Yeah, sometimes you don't want to go, but you got to go. I mean, that was good, Patrick. And sometimes you turn when you don't think you are. Yeah. And so, see, now he's not on his own strength anymore. He's got help 24/7. Wow. Not just on Sundays, not just on Tuesdays. You got help 24/7 when you're hooked up to his yoke. Wow. You got strength, extraordinary strength, 24/7. You've got leadership 24/7. You got guidance. If you just take his yoke and learn. He said learn. Learn does not mean that I just poured it in his head. Learn means to actually experience it. Have y'all experienced anything lately you wish you didn't have to experience? But you learned something from it? Because you're yoked up. With Jesus. I hope somebody takes a picture of this and sends it to PCDC. We're sunk. Okay. Thank you, bro. Okay. So now, so I says now, take my yoke. Somebody say, I got to hook up. If you hook up with his yoke and learn of him, life may not necessarily be easy, but during everything you go through, you got the guarantee of his leadership, his guidance, his strength, his authority, his resources. So you want to be yoked up to him. But in order to be yoked up, you got to be teachable. How many's ever told Jesus how to handle the situation? I have. Jesus, if you just handle it this way, it'll fix it. And Jesus is going, nah, that's not the way I want to do it. But Jesus, I got it all figured out. He goes, no, that's not the way. I got a better plan, but you got to get under my yoke. And then I can show you. See, so I'm going to talk to you right now just for a moment. I'm going to keep you long today because I want you to remain teachable. A real long sermon, you will no longer be teachable because Your mind can only absorb as much as your body man can absorb. I mean, your mind can absorb as much as your body man can endure. Okay, ready? Four characteristics of an unteachable spirit. If you raise your hand to one, two, or three, actually it's three. I think I put down four, but it's only three. I don't know why I put four. I reckon I was asleep. I did this asleep, so that's all right. All right. Well, I actually repaired it when I was asleep, so it's actually three characteristics. Somebody say three. Tell them to look for the fourth one. All right, this is a sure sign that you got an unteachable spirit. Number one, chronic failure. All of us fail every day. There's a difference in systematic failure. It's a difference in learning a little failure for every now and then, but chronic failure. All of us have failed, but repetitive failure in all or any areas of our life, you need to check and make sure. Check and make sure you don't have an unteachable spirit. Number two. Man, back up number one again. How many said, God, how many times you gonna let this happen to me? You ever said that? God, how many times you gonna let this happen in my life? And you know what? I bet you he's saying when you finally learned a lesson, we'll go to another one. Preacher came into church and started preaching, and he preached the same sermon 6 weeks in a row. People finally started catching on. And they said, hey, ain't you got any more sermons besides that one? That's a good sermon the first couple times we heard it, but now it's starting to get old. He said, I got plenty of sermons. I got hundreds of sermons. And they said, well, why don't you preach another one? He said, when you start living this one, I'll preach another one. Yeah. Amen. Sometimes chronic failure is because God's saying, if you'll pay attention to what I'm trying to tell you, trying to teach you, then you won't have to keep going around the same mountain over and over and over and over again. I'm trying to teach you. I'm trying to show you. Yoke up with me. Learn what I'm trying to teach you. And that chronic failure will only become just some kind of systematic failure. Number two, an argumentative or defensive nature. I know none of us have ever been argumental, have we? Or defensive when somebody says, I don't think that'll work. What? I'm not sure if that's a good plan or not. What? That plan? Come on now. You see, it's like a Sunday school teacher was discussing the Ten Commandments. Some people get the Bible all mixed up. Sunday school teacher was discussing the Ten Commandments with her 5 and 6-year-olds. After explaining the commandment to honor thy father and thy mother, she said, is there a commandment that teaches us how to treat our brothers and sisters? Without missing a little beat, the little boy answered, yeah, thou shalt not kill. Do you find that as soon as somebody starts striking at your idea, you jump on the defensive and get argumentative right to start with? You never even give your heart a chance. It could be that you've got an unteachable spirit. Matter of fact, do you feel threatened by differing opinions? Quick to state your case. 2 Timothy 2:14 says for us to charge. It says, charge them before God not to quarrel about words, which does no good, but only ruins the hearers. Some folks, I think, argue because they just love to argue. I've seen people sit there and actually get out of the car and argue with their self. They ain't got an earpiece in. They're just arguing with themselves. You know, I was at the post office one day and saw somebody at the post office box just arguing. I thought there was somebody inside arguing back. They're arguing to themselves. Some people just love it. But you know what? If you find yourself, every time somebody comes up against what you got to say, they want to argue, be careful. You may have an unteachable spirit. Number three. Isolation and withdrawal in times of difficulty. Things get tough, and you don't want to hear what anybody else has got to say about it, so you just withdraw. I don't want to hear what they got to say. What they got to say doesn't bother me, doesn't concern me, so I'm just going to withdraw. I'm going to pull aside. I'm not going to be seen, you know, because they'll think I'm weak. Getting help is not a sign of weakness. Matter of fact, getting help is a sign of strength and a sign of wisdom. Proverbs 18:1-2 says, a man who isolates himself seeks his own judgment. He rages against all wise judgment. A fool has no delight in understanding, but in expressing his own heart. So that's the three things, the three characteristics of an unteachable spirit. I hope that you don't find yourself, maybe every now and then you might find yourself in it, that's okay, but if you find yourself in it constantly, then more than likely, you need to ask God to help you. Now we're going to talk about the characteristics of a teachable spirit. Somebody say amen. Praise God. Here we go. First, the spirit of humility. We talked about this in the very first sermon. Spirit of humility. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, because I am meek and humble of heart, and you shall find rest to your souls. I like Philippians 2:3-5 in the message. Watch this. Don't push your way up to the front. Don't sweet talk your way up to the top. Put yourself aside and help others get ahead. Don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. Forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand. Think of yourselves in the way Jesus Christ thought of himself. Wow. So, spirit of humility. If you want to be teachable, you got to be humble. If you're going to learn something, then you can't think. You know, John Newton said, it's what you learn after you know everything that counts. Wow. It's what you learn after you got it all figured out. You know, you got it all under control. And then it's when the stuff you learn is when it's going to really start counting. Number two, and here it is from our other sermon, a repentant spirit. Lord, I'm sorry for all my know-it-all moments. If you go in a situation with a know-it-all moment, guess what? No matter what anybody else says to you, the door's shut. It's shut. It's absolutely shut. So God, I'm sorry for the times that I knew it all. You know, that's a lot of times when I learn from my kids. I come in thought I knew it all because I was older and I had it under control. And then my youngest start talking to me, and if I would just slow down for a minute, I find out I actually learned something. It was good. And I said, why? I didn't think about it that way. That's awesome. Psalm 34:18 says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Those that are repentive. That's how you learn what God, that's how you have a teachable spirit. You got to be humble. You got to be repentive. Number three, a hunger for wisdom. James 1:5 says, but if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all men generously and without reproach and wisdom, and it will be given unto him. Here's my favorite. Y'all get ready. Y'all might chuckle when you see it. Here's my favorite. Number four characteristic. Opened eyes, unclogged ears, closed mouth. Well, some of you giggled. I think I heard two or three say, ouch. Did I say that? Opened eyes, unclogged ears, closed mouth. You know, sometimes you just, it goes right past you if you're so busy talking, you're not paying attention. You heard me talk this a few weeks ago. Three of the men walking through the park. The first one says, it sure is windy. The second responds, no, it isn't. It's Thursday. The third says, I am too. Let's go get something to drink. There was no communication there. James 1:19 says, understand this, my beloved brethren. Let every man be quick to hear, a ready listener, slow to speak, slow to take offense, and to get angry. An open mind and a closed mouth provide an atmosphere conducive or conductive for learning. I love this. I love this. Watch this. Ready? A closed mouth gathers no foot. Wisdom of the ages. Somebody, look at that again. Somebody say, hey, amen. A closed mouth gathers no foot. Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln said, it's better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. Sometimes it just does good. Sometimes I'll sit there and just listen. Somebody says, aren't you going to do anything about it? Why aren't you doing something? I'm just listening. Because if I can listen and listen long enough, I can go ahead and get a game plan going, because I've already figured out which directions, what all the multiple directions that are going on. I used to do it at Fountain all the time. I do it everywhere. I do it with my family. I do it in spiritual matters. Sometimes I just sit there and listen. And what I do is, when I'm listening, because you learn a whole lot more listening than you can talking. Amen? And so I'm listening, and I'm finding out, well, that's a good opinion, and that's a good way to go. That's a good way to go this way. I never thought about that. This person is more apt to want to do it this way. And so then it helps me with a game plan that actually is conducive for growth. Then they go in there like Billy the Kid and shoot it out and kill it all. It's important that we have opened eyes, unclogged ears, and a closed mouth when we're trying to learn. You can't learn from the teacher if you won't listen to the teacher. I had a guy when I was in college, and I was an engineer in school. I had a guy who had just retired from the military, and he was literally a know-it-all. He sat right behind me, and it was so aggravating, because every time the teacher would say something, he would contradict it. I believe he could have said, well, we got rain outside, be careful. He goes, it's not raining over my car. And one day he was just talking, doing his normal thing, and we were in math class, and he was doing his normal thing. His name was Sam. And the teacher said, she was calling the roll, and he was so busy correcting everybody, he couldn't hear what she was saying. It's the first time I ever heard this saying. I've heard it a million times since. First time I heard it, though, I about fell out. We're sitting in class. She keeps calling his name. I'm tapping on his desk. He don't hear me. There are people trying to get his attention. Finally, somebody gets his attention. He says, what? He says, the teacher. She says, Sam. He said, what? He says, your name is Sam, isn't it? He says, and then he just stood right up and said, lady, call me anything you want to call me. Just don't call me late for supper. And whenever he sat behind me, it messed up the whole class. Because not only was I trying to hear what the engineering teachers and the other guys were trying to teach me, I had to hear him contradict everything they said. And so, it's very important that we have the next one, a positive outlook. I mean, this thing to learn. I've learned so much from my grandchildren. I've learned so much from my children. I've learned so much from so many people that you wouldn't necessarily think you want. You say, well, how can I learn a lesson from them? I've learned a lot of lessons in some of the craziest places. And there's a lot of lessons I missed. I realized he was choosing the time, he was choosing the place, but I wasn't listening. And I knew better, or thought I did, and I missed out on a good opportunity. I remember when I was younger, there was a guy who came down, lived in Oriental. He wanted to get away from it all. He played with the Philharmonic Orchestra. He was a bad, bad dude. He came down here, became a hermit. If you looked at him, you would have never thought that he could play all these instruments with precision. And so he worked with my daddy, and he told my daddy what he could do. My daddy said, I heard you could do this. He said, well, yeah, I can. He says, my son's trying to teach himself the guitar. You think you could help him? He said, oh, sure, I can play the guitar. And so he said, well, how are we going to pay you? He said, well, I actually got work to be done around the yard. And he said, like on Saturday, he said, my son's working on Saturday. He said, you got two more boys, ain't you? So my brothers went to work for him to pay for my guitar lesson. And I went to about four or five. And this man could see the music and read it. He could see the music. And as he's watching the music, he could make the noise, the sound it would make. And he could take his fingers on the guitar, and I'd never seen anybody like it. He was just, oh, it was just awesome. And he said, I'm going to try to teach you this. I said, okay, teach me. And so he started teaching me. And I decided I would never really have to know all that stuff. When am I going to be playing music? Who cares? I'm really about my guys partying. So after about the fourth or fifth lesson, and I even went with him. He was teaching cello and all kinds of stuff, and they were at churches playing all this stuff that he was teaching them. And all that was laid at my feet. And I said, I'll never need that. I'll never play music again. And after I got into ministry, I never set the music down. And there's hardly a time I've played that I don't think about that man. And when I watch my boys with their fingers grease lightning, and I sit back and watch, and I think that man was showing me some stuff that I could have taught my boys would have been awesome. But you know what? All I could teach him was that first four or five lessons I had because I knew better. God chooses with a teachable spirit. He knew I'd be in the ministry. He knew I'd be messing with music. He knew all this stuff. And he knew I'd have the opportunity to teach a lot of young people how to play. And so he put me in that perfect position, but I knew better. And I regret it and have regretted it ever since. But that positive attitude, watch this. So 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a dedicated nation, God's own purchased special people, that you may set forth the wonderful deeds, display the virtues and perfections of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. With all this stuff going for us, how in the world, if God be for us, who can be against us? Why can't we have a positive attitude and say, God, I thank you that you love me enough to pull me aside and teach me? Number 6. A teachable spirit submits to authority and stays accountable. Romans 14:12 says, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. And the Bible tells us in Ephesians 5:21, it's talking about marriage, but it's also talking about other relationships. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And number 7, desperation for God. Proverbs 33 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. That goes a little bit farther than just saying, okay, God, what do I do next? It's actually you become desperate for God with all your heart. You cannot trust him with all your heart, and there's no way you cannot lean to your understanding unless you are desperate for God. I thank God for all the teachable moments. I thank God. And I have, and guys especially, every one of us guys, I know it, we're guys. God put it in us, we're analytical, and we're problem solvers. And sometimes it's hard to sit back and go, you know, no, I don't have any idea, I've got no clue. And so what happens is we make a big mess of it. Now to make a mess of it, you know, John Rudin also said, if you don't have time to do it right the first time, when are you going to have time to do it over again? He was an awesome man. So now, God wants us to be teachable. If we're teachable, we become go-to people. If we're not teachable, we become know-it-alls. And I can tell you, thinking about Sam behind me, two whole semesters, I don't know how I got stuck with him, but in every class I had, he was right behind me. Honestly, it's when they first come out with the calculators, and we went from slide rule to calculators, and we were going to calculators. They didn't even teach us how to use calculators. None of us knew how to use the calculators, these electronic scientific calculators. We paid $100 for a little bitty thing that did a little bitty stuff and as big as a wedge of cheese. Now for a dollar, you can go to a dollar store and buy stuff more powerful than what we have for $100. But that man even knew more about that calculator that he had never seen than the teacher that was teaching us. And he used to, when he would open his mouth, watch this, and send me going, yeah, I got to hear this. Here's what I'd do. So let me give you a little warning, a little help. You don't have to look at anybody. Please don't look at anybody. Do not raise your hand. Do not point any fingers. But if you want to know if you are a go-to person, or if you seem to be a know-it-all, just watch what happens when you start talking. Do people go, he's talking, yeah. Or do they go? That's a good indication. Somebody, you eating something sour there, buddy? No, I'm hearing something sour. God wants us to have a teachable spirit. Here's the benefits of teachability. And this one wasn't as fun as the last. I thought repentance was going to be the hardest one. Now, teachability is harder than repentance. Amen. Here we go. When I'm teachable, I got relief in my life. Because I can freely admit I don't know it all. When I first went in the fountain, I threw all those problems in my lap, and I said, how in the world am I supposed to fix all these problems? I don't know enough about these boats to fix these problems. And the Lord spoke to me and said, go find the one, the best one in each category, and let them teach you and lead you and show you. And so I'd go and ask, who's the guy that does this? Who's the best one at this? They would tell me. And I'd go to the best one. And I said, okay, why are we having this problem? Talk to me. If he didn't know, I'd get him another guy, with the next guy up, and I'd put them together and say, let's figure out why we're having this problem. And it was so amazing how the problems, and this isn't me, I'm not bragging to me, I'm bragging on God, because that's what God told me to do. The first year they handed almost 800 problems in my lap. And the next year, it was cut down below 200. Why? And the repetitive problems were stopping. Why? Because I went to the person that knew what he was talking about. And I didn't go, well, I don't know. No, I just shut my mouth, unclogged my ears, and I opened my eyes, and I took a pencil. And I said, let it rip, bro. Tell me. Talk to me. Talk to me. And I would write it down. And I'd write it down. And then whenever I'd fill out the engineering request that we were going for the changes made, I didn't put my name down there that I did it. I put my name down there as the engineering resources, but I put those people's name right there. They're the ones. They are the ones. You see, humility, repentance, good attitude, opening my eyes, closing my mouth, opening my ears. Wow, I don't know it all. Number two, if I'm teachable, I'm going to have rest in my life. Why? Because if you have to have all the answers, all of a sudden now, you got problems. When I had my team together, I would tell my teams all the time, I would find out who's best at what, and Christy was better doing this, and Anki was better doing this, and Sandra was better doing this, or Sandy, and all these people. And what I'd do is I'd take the person that was best for that job, and I'd put them there. They'd come to me and say, well, how am I supposed to do this? I said, I don't know. You're the best one at it. You tell me. And they said, well, you're the boss. I said, just because I'm the boss don't mean I got to know it all. I don't know it all. That feels so good. Somebody say that. I don't know it all. Oh, doesn't it feel good? Do it one more time. I dare you. I don't know it all. Amen. I don't want to either. Thank you, brother. Don't want to know it all. That's exactly right. You don't. You don't have to depend on self. Number five, you realign. When you realize you don't know it all, guess what happens? You realign yourself and you find out there can be another way. That's an amazing thought. There can be another way? Come on now. Another way? I thought mine was the right way. Guess what? We don't know it all. And the Bible says we're the body, which means one's the hand, one's the foot, one's the nose, one's the eye, one's the ear. As I said, I really can't see how to fix this. Ear says, just listen. The mouth kept talking, shut up, mouth, just listen. And the ear found how to fix it, told the mouth how to explain it, told the eye what to look for, and they fixed it. So, sometimes it's okay to back up and punt. So I blew it. I can back up and punt. And number four, the best thing about teachability, there's restoration in my life because things can get better. Once I realize I don't know it all, once I realize I don't have to depend only on me to figure this out, once I realize there can be a better way, then I realize that, hey, there's some restoration here. Things can get better. Praise God. Praise God. I actually played a little game when I went to get this new amp. Bass amp. I hope Daniel don't mind me saying it, but I played a little game with the guy at the dealership. I said, I'm not sure which one to get, the Fender or the Peavey. And I said, but I know two that will know. See, I didn't know it all. I told him, I don't know it all. I'll tell you what. He said, well, it's up to you what you want. I said, I know, but I'm not sure which one to get. So I said, you want to have some fun? He says, yeah, what we're going to do? I said, watch this. And I sent one text to DC and Daniel at the same time, with pictures of both of them. I said, which one should I get? Immediately, Daniel put back Peavey. DC put back Fender. I told him, I said, watch this now. They're going to be opposite, but they're going to pull together. He says, really? I said, watch this. So, DC says, you need to go with that Fender, Dad. Daniel says, and then Daniel starts calling out the specs on the Peavey, and Daniel says, no, you need a Peavey. Then DC says, but you need the Fender. Then DC says, wait a minute, I didn't see that the specs. Hold on. So then they start looking back and forth at the stuff and then start asking questions. And before long, it wasn't Fender and Peavey. They were both over here at Peavey. And I said, see, we got two I consider experts agreeing. So we went to go with the Peavey. They were the same price. Again, I didn't call them and say, boys, here's what I'm doing now. Y'all just agree with me. No. I called and said, boys, help me out. Show me. I need your help. And then I played a little game, let them go ahead and do their stuff because I knew what was going to happen. In the end, it was all going to be fine. So now, blessed are the meek, gentle, power under control. But not only power under control, people that are teachable. You say you can't teach old dogs new tricks? Yeah, you can. This old dog here has learned a lot of new tricks, especially lately. And I thank God for that. The biggest thing I have learned along the way is just to be able to say, I don't know. Oh, guys, come on up. I don't know. I don't know. Somebody else does, and I'm going to find them. And we're going to fix it. God is watching. God is waiting. He wants us to worship Him, to love Him, to trust Him, to put Him up front. We thank you, God. We thank you, God. We thank you, God. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. I want everybody to stand. if you want to find in your life, you want to find relief, rest, realignment, restoration, learn, be teachable. Know that you don't know it all. That God has got your back. He wants to help us. Okay. A need, God wants to help you. He wants to heal you. He wants to touch you. He wants to teach you. This day, you got a need from God. I'm inviting you to come to this altar. You got a need from God. Come up to this altar. Come on up now. Maybe you just need God to help you become more teachable. Help me, God. Help me guide my own way.
He gave his life.
I thank you, God.
What more could he give? Oh, how he loves you.
Thank you, Father. Every need in our life, Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for meeting every need in our life. Thank you, Father. God, I want to be teachable. I want to be pliable in your hand. God, I want to know that I'm out of my own way, that I stay out of my own way. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father.
Gave his life. What more could
he give? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord.
How he loves you. Oh, how he loves me.
Thank you, Father.
How he loves you.
Thank you, Lord.
Me.
I want to be pliable in your hands. I want to learn. Teach me, God. Teach me, God. Help me, Lord. Help me, Father. Help me to have a teachable spirit. I don't know it all. I need your help.
He gave his life. What more could he give? He loves you. Oh, how he loves me.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, how he loves you and me.
Thank you, Father. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. Help me to be teachable, God. Help me to be reachable, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God.
He loves you and me. Oh, how he loves you and me.
Yes.
He gave his life. What more could he give? Oh,
God sees us walking in true humility, walking in repentance, walking in teachability. We stand approved before Him because now He can work with us. He can help us. He can show us.
The garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the joy
thank you, Lord,
almost my ear, the Son of God is closing. And He walks with me and He talks with me and He tells me I am His own. And the joy we share as we tell Him none other has ever known.
Thank you, Father.
He
glory to the Lamb of God.
The sound of His voice is so sweet that the birds hush their singing, and the melody that He gave to me, the Son of God discloses. And He walks with me and He talks with me and He tells me I am His own. And the joy we share as we tell Him none other has ever known.
God is awesome. The Beatitudes now are picking up speed. They're going to be fun. Hadn't the Beatitudes been fun? Kind of, sort of, maybe, if you shut one eye and close the clogging, clogging ear. Amen. Come back tonight. We're going to have a good time in the Lord, a wonderful time in the Lord. Amen. Looking for God to do something special, very, very special. Next week's Father's Day. We're going to have a good time. We're going to have a normal service on Sunday morning. We did Mother's Day. And we've got some cordless tools we're going to be giving away. So, fellas, get ready. I'm not sure how much the budget will allow, but we're going to try to give away as many cordless tools as possible. Is this in the Sunday school next week? Yeah, we got Sunday school. Yeah, the children's church. That's right. That's right.
If you're teachable, we're having Sunday school.
Well, that was good. That was good. That was good. That was good. Brother Frank, we just missed us in prayer, please. Come out tonight looking for a blessing.